Welcome back to the Georgia Show. I'm here with my stand-in for the Q, Bill Quinn, BKP. Brian, what's going on in your side of the world, my friend?
Well, I appreciate it, Todd. Thanks a lot. Always great to be on the program with you. And again, we're all here in Georgia wishing Bill a speedy recovery. And we know he is working towards that. But until then, we're going to hold down the fort, do what we can. That's an open-ended question. that's an open-ended question. What's going on in my side of the world? Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, we have a lot going on in Georgia, and I know you have some guests coming in that you're going to talk to in another part of the country. But in Georgia, just when we get down to the section that we're going to focus on in Georgia, I know most of the people out there around the world that watch CDM all around the world keep up with Georgia. Everybody's bouncing off the wall right now. We may have, in a strange way, some good things happening because some things are starting to develop to expose some things. And we're going to get into that after the statewide convention where I feel it was rigged, of all places, Georgia, to rig an election. But many feel that there's some things that are unraveling here that could end up for the best. And strangely, we'll explain that when we get down to that part.
Well, that's what we're focusing on in the show today, is tying in across the country some of the same tactics and phenomenon that are happening inside the GOP. And as you said, we've long focused on what's going on in Georgia, but the same tactics, Brian, are happening around the country. And I want to bring in Sheila Matthews from Able Child. Sheila, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate you carving some time out.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
So in Georgia, we've got issues inside the GOP. And when you emailed me some of the stuff you saw happening in Connecticut, I'm like, wow, that's the same stuff, not giving the list of the state committeemen to those running for elections, not putting information out to those that want to compete in the elections. But tell us what's going on in Connecticut that you are all over, actually.
Oh my God, you couldn't have zoomed us in at a perfect time. I have Joe Hoft, actually, from the Gateway Pundit downstairs. We're doing a talk today with him about election fraud. And yesterday we did an event up at the Cadillac Ranch in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And on the way back, we've been hammering on this state chairman election in the state of Connecticut. And this chairman, Ben Proto, is controlling all the data that goes out to all the people that are voting. There's 74 voting delegates, and he's withholding their phone numbers and their emails. And we wrote, Joe Hoft wrote an article about it. Able Child's been hammering it. And we hired, we commissioned, sponsored a big RUV here to go around the state. And here's the thing. Yesterday, after hammering for this list, we just got it. And everybody's saying there's no candidate. Well, Todd, because we commissioned the bus, and Joe Hoft and the Gateway Pundit have been hammering this chairman who's been in office for 6 years, I believe, and no competition, somebody mm-hmm. threw their hat in. And now he won't give up. All of a sudden, yesterday, we get the list of the delegates. So the election is on Tuesday.
I was going to ask you, the election's Tuesday. I mean, that's not a lot of time to campaign, right?
No. And as a matter of fact, the buzz has it that Ben Proto, the chairman, knows that Joe Hoft is in town today. And anybody who's associated, he's sending out texts. Are you associated with Joe Hoft? Are you associated with Joe Hoft? And then they have all these squirrels inside that pretend to be supportive. And then they lead you down all these rat holes. It's depressing. It's like a bad high school TV show, you know? It's terrible.
Brian, you got any questions? I mean, you've seen some of the same stuff in Georgia, right?
Well, I can't believe you just asked me if I have any questions. I tell you what, I'm listening to you. So obviously Connecticut has a different Republican Party structure than Georgia. So in your delegates, are you talking about your state committee members? Is that who votes? That's who votes in, right?
It's the state committee members. It's the chairman. This is a big position. Mm-hmm. It's the chairman of the Republican Party in the state. So they're the ones who are going to get. Now, you have to understand, Connecticut is a completely super majority. Okay. So, and the current chairman has been giving the seats away to the Democrats. There's over 40 seats that haven't been filled. And it's actually the highest, 95.1% as seats not filled, that people have remained in control in the entire country. And it's the Constitution state.
Well, so he's been withholding your delegates. And as you well know, probably in Connecticut, I don't follow your I have some viewers in Connecticut that send me messages. But in your state, you know, it's a blue state. But I would say you're trending and moving a little to the right, just like New Jersey and other states. And they're probably just trying to get in the way of that. Has Michael Whatley, the RNC chair, is he supporting your current chair?
Well, the current chair is Ben Proto. I'm not usually involved in politics at all. The only reason why I got involved is they cut my mic off on a live feed when I was talking about human rights and children. So I'm not, I don't even have a dog in this race. It's about the structure. And what we're hearing is because Abel Child brought in Joe Hoft, that everybody's talking about us. Everybody's talking about this roving bus that has Trump's picture on it. And so a candidate ended up reaching out to us. I have him here with me. So nobody, the whole thing is nobody's challenged this Ben Proto for years, actually. And everybody hates him. Everybody hates him. And they basically are saying there's no other alternative. Well, because we came here, a candidate reached out and he's here with me. I would love to bring him on and introduce him. I mean, if we didn't bring Joe Hoft here, we would not have a challenger. And there's a couple of days left. But here's the thing. Everybody has given up hope for the state. And that's why your show today is so it's perfect timing for us, because this is election fraud, withholding delegates. This is fraud. This is abuse. And it's really not doing the people any good. So without any further ado, Todd, I'm going to bring in Jason. Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
Okay, Jason, I'm going to just
bring him in. Yes.
Good afternoon. How are you? My name is Jason Douglas.
Jason, I'm well. Thanks for joining us, Jason. Can you hear me?
Pleasure to be here. Yes, I can hear you well. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a lifelong
great.
Resident.
So,
We have the paper
of the Connecticut Sentinel in Connecticut, and so we've been very involved in Connecticut. But tell us your experience trying to run in this election for state chair.
Well, honestly, it's a late go. It's a Hail Mary. But right off the bat, I heard rumor. Apparently, Ben Proto caught wind of the fact I was running, and I heard rumors that I didn't vote in the last election. They're already making up untrue things. They're very personality politics wise. Their election process is very closed door and undemocratic. And what the state of Connecticut is going through, I call it the Democratic / Marxist Party at this point. It's a lot worse than we are a deep blue state in terms of the leadership. However, the people of Connecticut are very much on the red and very much behind Donald Trump, very much behind Make America Great. And what I see is just a closed door situation, and someone has to throw their hat in the ring. And I'm a private investigator. I'm a private detective, and I'm a very organized person. And I see the problems are easy to see. We had 40 unopposed Democrats run. We have 151 seats in our house here in Connecticut, 40 unopposed. That's inexcusable. And the fundraising is lacking. The Republican Party is broke in Connecticut. The leadership is an absolute epic fail. And last November, I personally didn't get involved in politics until last November, but I've been watching it like a hawk since the days of Ella Grasso, who was our governor in the 70s. And being an investigator, I've worked literally in every community in Connecticut, 169 towns. I know the state as well as anybody. And I'm the guy that can bring it all together to organize the Republican Party. We have 169 towns. There are districts where they don't have a website at their town committee. They don't even, they have a Facebook page. That's it. And you can't even get a hold of the people there. And then when you tell them about it, they deny it. And their election process is happening. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
This is the Georgia show. So we're focused on Georgia. But I wanted to bring you guys on because we have the same type of issues. You're right. It's a different structure, Brian, in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. But what obstacles do you see to, is your name on the ballot? Let's start with that. I mean, are you in the race?
Well, that's funny you say that because the whole process, it's very important. Like Sheila was saying, what an important position it is to be the leader of the Republican Party in Connecticut. You'd think there'd be some kind of a democratic process. What they have is 74 committee members representing two from each district in a hotel eating, buffet and drinking wine, and they sit down, they make their decision. That's not right. There should at least be membership from the towns, representing from the towns, but it's not even a public ballot. So I'm facing obstacles. They have very much a good old boys club over there. Their location, they don't even make the location of the vote public. It's supposed to be a public and they keep it private. We've made it public this time around and we're going to have citizens there. We're going to have guys blaring their horns and we're going to make some noise. It's amazing. I've actually been talking to all the committee members, personally on the phone, and some of them are just the closed-mindedness of the personality politics is unbelievable. It's about who you are and what you're doing. No, it's not about that. It's about economic responsibility in Connecticut. It's about working for the people, not illegal aliens. Connecticut is in a lot of ways a lot worse than a lot of other blue states in this country. However,
well, it's the most infiltrated state there is. Yeah.
Yep, the people are the same. So,
Brian, anything else before we move on?
Todd, I'm just listening in amazement. This is exactly what we have been studying, talking about nationally. This is the demagnifying of the United States. This is the demagnifying of each state party trying to control it. And what I'm hearing here, my friend here is wearing his MAGA hat. And I know this. I have friends in New Jersey. I have friends in the Northeast. Things are moving. I want to call it to the right, but they're moving towards the MAGA America First agenda. Right. And there's such a power struggle to make sure that does not happen. Mm-hmm. And they hold on to the power. It's just amazing what I'm hearing here.
Yeah, they play rough. They don't play by the rules. The current chairman, Ben Proto, right now has said he doesn't want to have dinner with Donald Trump, nothing to do with Donald Trump. Well, how in the heck can Donald Trump is the leader of the Republican Party right now? How can you say that as a chairman of one of the state? That's ridiculous. The people aren't for that. It's so out of whack. And they think they got their little, they'll try any trick. Like they said, they claimed I didn't vote. The good news is I'm coming in late. They don't have much time to smear me.
But let me ask you this, Jason. Did you have to sign an NDA for that list?
No, it's public information here in Connecticut, but that's another issue. I only got the full list just the other day. We were getting old lists and incomplete lists, but I think we have what we need now.
No phone numbers.
No phone numbers on one of the lists. I mean, they'll do anything. I could go on for hours on it. it's ridiculous.
I have children.
And the life I lived in Connecticut, not this.
Well, is there anything else? So tell people how they can help you and anything else you want to get out. But I appreciate you coming on. But tell us where they can help you.
Well, I'm on X at the Big Picture CC. And my email is jbd@jbdinvestigations.com. So if there's anything you think you can help with, we're also, the vote is on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on the Berlin Turnpike in a town called Berlin, Connecticut at 2421. There's a hotel called the Hawthorne Inn. So call the Hawthorne Inn. If you're in the area, drive by, honk your horns. We're going to have a crowd outside. I want them to hear us through the hotel walls and their little inner buffet circle they have going on there. This is enough is enough. This isn't an aristocracy or an oligarchy. This is a democracy. You know what? One more thing. I'm sick and tired of them accusing us of what we are, accusing us of what they are. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're the Marxists here, not us. They're the ones behaving like, you know, dictators and whatnot. So,
well, tell us, what are they accusing? What are they calling you? Because that may relate to Georgia.
Well, they don't know me well enough to call me much yet, and they're afraid of me because I'm an investigator, which is great. It's a great angle. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to claim that one of the biggest things is that, you know, I'm not taking it seriously. Since I haven't been in their inner circle, I'm not involved in politics for the last, you know, 40 years or whatever. Somehow that makes me unqualified or, you know, what they'll try anything. But luckily, I'm kind of coming in under the radar on them right now. So it's just going to be
good. They have all the relationships. If you come in, you blow up all the relationships they have. I mean, I'm checking off all the boxes here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all the same in a lot of other states. I mean, they're doing it in red states too. They're trying to shift the tide, I'm sure. You know, and they don't play by the rules. That's why when I tell people, like, when I tell the people that are involved, like, there's a lot of people in Connecticut that are very discouraged, that are good hearts, that have been involved for a long time. We're trying to, like, get them motivated again and tell them, like, look, you know, the tide has turned. This isn't like even 4 or 6 years ago. Donald Trump's election last November was very significant. And also, I named myself the Big Picture CC for a reason. I look at the big picture. We have a world of thousands of years of oppression and domination until the United States comes along. And then in the 90s, we had the Europe and the free world. We had kind of a nice free world thing going. Now we're down to just the MAGA guys. That's it. We better save this sucker or it's gone. It's not just a normal election cycle.
Completely agree, Jason. Thanks for your time, man.
Next year's election. No, we start now.
Thank you, guys. All right, my friend.
Thank you. He does have some delegates.
Yeah, we have some yeses, so we're not out of this. Thank you.
Cool, man. So take care, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Take care.
All right. Well, Brian, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Well, in the case of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, these are two medications that have been FDA approved for use in humans for decades. Mm-hmm. They are very, very inexpensive. Interestingly, available over the counter in almost every other country other than the US and Canada. Yeah. You can just walk into a pharmacy and buy them like we buy Tylenol in much of the world because they're that safe. And we've known for decades that ivermectin has very strong antiviral properties. It has anti-inflammatory properties. And both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are what we call zinc ionophores. They help to move zinc from the bloodstream into the cell, which is where it needs to be in order to fight off a virus. So lots of application for these. And we have every reason to believe that those drugs also will likely have some efficacy against H5N1 or a number of other respiratory viruses that we may meet down the road.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
Brian, I know you've got some stuff to go through and I've got your slides ready, but it really is incredible how similar the tactics are between what we heard from that gentleman and what's going on in Georgia.
Well, you know, Cittarelli, is that his name in New Jersey, the Republican there? You know, I've been following that race. We're going to have a pretty interesting race for governor. Trump was within 6 points in New Jersey. I know Connecticut is closing. I still know it's a blue state, but they are moving in that direction. And it's just interesting, the same tactics. I mean, I can check off all the boxes. Yeah. You know, David Cross didn't have the experience and, you know, he couldn't run the party and so forth. And withholding the information needed to talk to the delegates. And I would suspect Connecticut is a closed primary state. And that's why you have your state committee. And I understand the structure on the state committee. But anyhow, yes, Very similar as far as the playbook. There's obviously a playbook. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, why don't we jump into what you have in Georgia? I've got your slides ready.
All right. So in Georgia, let me just say this. You know, obviously, we had a very contested convention a couple weeks ago. And not to go backwards there, most of the viewers understand that. And I know you have an international audience. And I think almost worldwide, almost everybody knows the name Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia. So after the convention, a lot of things are developing. And I'm going to show you a couple things here. And a lot of people hear about the accountability rule. But there's some things happening in Georgia. It's so interesting. Give me number one, and I'm going to show you this for a reason. Last year, the county in Georgia, the Catoosa County GOP, and what we're really concerned about in Georgia is you hear it called the accountability rule. And we're absolutely tired of Republicans getting on the ballot and getting ballot access and not living up to Republican conservative values. It's pretty simple there. This county in North Georgia went the district distance, and they tried to keep four candidates running for county commissioner. Now, this is very important. I want to lay this out for the audience. Now, this is a county GOP, Catoosa County, and they tried to keep four commissioners off the ballot last year. To not qualify, they put an accountability rule in, and these people did not meet the standards, because in a lot of counties around Metro Atlanta, I'm in a red county, and we vote 78% Republican, but you can walk in as a Democrat, register as a Republican, nothing stops you, get on the ballot, and the next thing you know, you got a county commission run by Democrats in a Republican county. So that's been a problem. Catoosa County stepped forward. And I'll tell you where I'm going with this. This is going to be very interesting when we're done. So they stepped forward. They went to court to block these candidates. Now, these are county commission candidates. They can't block state representatives, state senators, because it starts crossing county lines, and that would be out of their authority. That would go to the state level. That's going to be important here in just a minute. So go to number two. So what happened when they did that is the Georgia Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to hear it. We're not going to waste our time, and we're not going to hear this case. And they pushed it aside. Well, Catoosa County did not quit. And the 11th Circuit District in the federal court system, the 11th Circuit District panel said, this is recent, said the three-judge panel in the 11th Circuit said, Catoosa County, you have the right to take this to court and be heard. So it's not a win, but it's a big win saying, you know, hey, you know, you have the right of association. You can go to court and say, look, we have our First Amendment right, freedom of association, and we can make this determination who's going to be on our ballot. So this is big. The 11th District, this is big. Now, the point being is, this is the accountability rule. This is very noisy. Now, let's go over to what gets interesting. Is now this is going to go. This is going to go before the 11th District. It's going to keep going. And we're going to see if county GOPs in Georgia have the right of association, freedom of association, to say you can't be on our ballot. So this is going to get very interesting. But this all comes together in just a minute here. Give me number three. So we have the Georgia Republican Assembly. Now, the Georgia Republican Assembly, after the convention, Alex Johnson is the National Federation Republican Assembly president of the National Republican Assembly. And after the convention, he jumps right out with excitement. And I think you've heard this, and you're and all of your audience has heard this. And he wrote this big email, and he's all excited that there's great news. This convention was amazing. He said, I've been going to GOP conventions for 16 years, and in my opinion, this one is the best outcome yet. So he jumps out there, and he puts this glowing email of what an amazing convention we have. So the Georgia Republican Assembly, and he says, now here's where he highlights this. While the Georgia GOP Executive Committee has previously banned Jeff Duncan from qualifying as a Republican, this last weekend, the convention delegates overwhelmingly passed a resolution maintaining Georgia unity and branding, which prohibits Georgia GOP, okay, from ever qualifying Brad Raffensperger as a Republican in the future. So he puts out an... Oh, I tell you what, we're bumping off the walls here. It's really getting exciting. So he puts out this glowing email of how great it is. And then he says, but the Georgia GOP said Brad Raffensperger can't run as a Republican. Now, let's see. This was a building motion for action, which requires the Georgia GOP to enact the will of the party in not qualifying Raffensperger and defending against any lawsuits over it. So the word lawsuit comes out. And what they're saying here is, look, if Brad Raffensperger tries to run, now the GRA, just for clarifications, they don't say we're going to sue, but they allude to if Brad Raffensperger tries to run as a Republican, we're going to possibly... somebody is going to sue to keep him off the ballot. So this blew up.
Let me ask you something there, because wasn't the GRA leadership, and correct me if I'm wrong, kind of in cahoots with McCoon at the convention?
You're jumping so far ahead, my dear friend.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll let you go.
No, I'm serious. We're going there. This, yes, you're exactly on it. I'm glad you asked. Okay. So let's go to number four. So we come out of the convention, and I've got this laid out for us. We come out of the convention, and the Brad Raffensperger. So immediately, and I want to say this for the viewers out there. Some people get upset and say, why do you highlight the AJC? Look, folks, I'm in Georgia, and you just need to understand that the Democrat wing of the Republican Party, which is most of them, they run their narrative through the AJC. So you will read the AJC to get the narrative that they're all putting together, or you won't catch it. So I'm not highlighting or bragging about the AJC as far as accuracy. So anyhow, we come out of the convention, and immediately they go to the AJC, goes to Josh and says, hey, are you going to keep Brad Raffensperger off the ballot? Is that going to happen? And Josh puts out the statement. Fresh off the re-election of the Georgia GOP chair, Josh McCoon said he would not block Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger from the ballot if he chooses to run in 2026.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Here is his quote. If I'm not going to put the Republican Party in position of being sued over ballot access, McCoon said on Tuesday's edition of Politically Georgia. So he said, look, no, the Georgia Republican Party is not going to fight to keep him off the ballot. We're not going to get sued over it. Well, lo and behold, here comes the second email, because things have blown up now in this timeline, number five. So the GRA comes out with this second email. My previous email discussed the convention outcome in favorable terms based on the response. I'm going to paraphrase. Everybody is upset, basically. Based on the feedback I've received, the process and tactics used at the convention were appalling. So this goes down the line, and it's very clear, all right, that the GRA membership around the state, just the core membership, just said, no, absolutely not. Don't write this article. So this one comes out and says, wow, we've got a serious problem here. in the GRA. This is a matter of a couple days. All of this is rolling. We got a serious problem here. You know, the convention, people are upset. They paid money and it alienated people who never had been to a contested convention. So now things move along. Number six, goodbye GRA, right? So the GRA comes out with this glowing, and then after they come back and Josh says, look, I'm not going to keep Raffensperger off here. There's 70 some people that resigned from the GRA. Now, the good news about this, these are the people that Kemp and the GRA, we wanted out. So these people released this statement. This is this week, this past week, earlier this week. Goodbye, the GRA, the Georgia Republican Assembly. After much reflection, we have come to the decision to resign from the Georgia Republican Assembly. Now, I didn't send everything, but I'm going to give you, let me give you number seven. Jason Thompson and Brant Frost and we go down through here. Julianne Thompson, his wife, Susie Voiles, Jenny Ekman, the assistant treasurer, Brittany Brown, first district chair, Katie Frost, Candace Taylor, Denise Burns. The list goes on. All of the Frost family, Candace, they all get out. They're gone. They're amazing. Gone. Okay, they're out. They leave. All right. So I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. Why did they get out? I can tell you right now, they got out. Kemp, this has all been a plan, a master plan. And I have to say, I'm not upset with the balance of the GRA members today, because I want you to know you have a lot of viewers. I have a lot of viewers throughout the week. They're GRA members. They're good people across the state. There's a lot of people viewing this today. They're GRA members. This is the, now you know what happened when David Frost used the word cancer in the GRA and how it backfired. And so we won't use that. So I don't know. We'll call this something on the GRA that's very bad. So these are the people, you know, we wanted to disappear from the GRA, but they leave. Okay. Well, it's not a couple days later. Give me number eight. Josh McCoon resigned from the GRA. Josh has resigned. Now, this is where it all comes back from Catoosa County on the county level to the state level. You're getting ready to see some things. There's going to be some things happening in this state that's going to be interesting. Now, why the Republican Party's totally imploding and why they chose to go this route? You see, this has got nothing to do with me, and it's got nothing to do with David Cross. It's got nothing to do with our side of the grassroots. This is all an implosion that's been planned all along. All right. And I don't know why, but let me get to the point here. Josh has tipped his hand, and I'll go out on the limb here and say Brad Raffensperger is running for office. Okay. Yeah. I'll go out on a limb and say he is, because Josh said, frankly, I do not know how I can continue to maintain a membership in an organization that's contemplating or planning to file a civil action against the organization that I'm responsible for running. Okay. So what he just tipped his hand and said is, in the first email the GRA put out, they said, look, someone may sue. We showed you that, right? If Brad Raffensperger tries to get on the ballot, Josh said immediately, he said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to fight that legal battle. So basically what Josh is saying here is, I'm the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, And when Brad Raffensperger qualifies to run for either governor or U.S. Senate, we don't have that nailed down yet in Georgia, he's going to run as a Republican, and I can't be a member of the GRA if they sue us. So he resigns from the GRA. Now, we're not finished. So immediately the GRA, number 9, they've come out with another one, right? As you know from previous emails, the Georgia GOP State Convention voted that Republican Party would not allow Brad Raffensperger to qualify as a Republican in the future. They also censured State House Speaker John Burns. The resolution, among others, were endorsed by the Georgia Republican Assembly, but its membership and the GRA rallied with other principal grassroots conservatives to successfully pass them. Let me see. He says in here that at no time did the GRA ever threaten to sue the Georgia GOP. So they're backing down and saying, well, somebody could come out and sue the Georgia GOP, but it wouldn't be the GRA. So just like that, within 2 weeks, the GRA, which was the assembled team, this top-level team of the GRA that participated in rigging an election for chair. Josh is a lifetime member of the GRA. Within 2 weeks, this top echelon of about 80 members are gone. They're gone. They're imploding, the GRA is. And the end all, Todd, is you have a level of the Georgia GOP that has basically told all these people, we don't want your involvement. We don't want your help. We don't want you to be a part of this. So I will have to tell you exactly, other than demagnifying Georgia, I don't know how we win in 2026. I don't know with what they're doing.
Well, I think there's, and you've seen this in other states and even nationally, where they're trying to cause division in the party because they don't want to win in 26, at least those in power, in my opinion. So, and also they, as you just said, they're trying to keep certain types of people, as in populists who want freedom, who want free elections and fair elections, out, because they're controlling the power structure. I mean, and they'd rather be an organized, you know, controlled opposition out of power and raising money than they would actually governing in a free society. That's my take. What say you?
Well, let me just say this. Okay, so we are running into 2026. David's running for office. We wanted to empower the grassroots. That's really what we did. Yes. Because I want to say this. We want to put a Republican in D.C. as opposed to John Ossoff. We sure. want to put a governor, a Republican in the governor's office. We want to put a Republican in the attorney general, the secretary of state. We want to maintain majorities in the state house and the state. We don't want to lose a single election. We wanted to empower the grassroots and make this happen. They're the ones that chose not to. They're the ones that chose not to unify. There's never been anything. Now, I'm going to look at your audience in this camera and tell you, do not get confused and think these people like Donald J. Trump. They do not, okay? They don't. Brian Kemp does not care for Donald J. Trump. He controls Josh McCoon. He controls this whole group that left. He controls the party. The party has ballot access. We've talked about that. And that's what I heard in Connecticut. They're not interested in a vibrant party that's inclusive of the people. They just want the ballot access. They don't need the other apparatus. Because let me just say this, going into, you know, what happened last night as far as our strikes on the bunker buster bombs and Iran's nuclear facilities, whatever that case may be. And I know that's another subject. Brian Kemp comes out and says, America can never allow Iran to obtain a nuclear weapon. Thank you, President Trump. Our service members and intelligence personnel. Brian Kemp comes out with a major thank you. Okay. Now, the second one here, Chris Carr, our attorney general. I support President Trump's decisive action that sends a clear message. We stand with Israel. We will not tolerate threats. All right. So that's Chris Carr. He has jumped on the bandwagon last night that they're all running for office. Now, our Speaker of the House, John Burns, tonight, President of the United States, sent the world a clear message. The United States will never waver in the commitment in supporting Israel, our strongest ally in the Middle East. Thank you, Mr. President. Now, these three people do not like Donald J. Trump. They do not. These three people are well aware the 2020 election was stolen in Georgia. These three people are well aware of all the things that are coming out. And in the interest of time, you know all the things that we have known for quite some time, but they're now starting to really surface about the 2020 election, okay? But these people pretend like they like Donald J. Trump. It's just not true. In the midterms, they're a nervous wreck, Todd. I'm going to tell you they are, and I'll tell you why. In 2018, in Trump's first term, in Georgia, in the midterms, the Georgia State House, the Republicans lost 11 seats. Okay. In 2018, in Georgia, Republicans in the midterms lost 11 seats. So don't think for 1 minute that these people like Donald J. Trump, they're a nervous wreck about 2026. What'll happen in the Trump administration? Because the Republicans wrote an article this week, the AJC wrote an article this week. We know they're not going to mirror 2018. It's not going to happen. But Republicans lost 11 seats at that time. They've lost 19 seats in the last 8 or 9 years in a state house here in Georgia. All right. And if they get a mirror of 2018, Democrats take control of the House in Georgia. Yes. If they mirrored 2018 and got 11 more seats. Now, they won't do that, but there's five in serious contention, and another four are outliers, okay? They don't talk about that, but they're a nervous wreck about that because we're down to 100 Republican seats. So let me just say this. These people, Josh McCoon, I don't care, Josh McCoon, John Burns, these people are not on board with Donald J. Trump. They are positioning 2028. They are positioning big time for 2028. So, it's moving. It's moving.
That's really good insight. I want to stay up on that. And what we have to find a way forward into keep people involved, but involved in the right way. And that's our challenge, I think, on the MAGA side is to channel the energy where it needs to go to be most effective. And I'm not sure where that is right now. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, there's a lot moving. All right. What happened this week? What happened this past 2 weeks? Okay. The great MAGA split. Did MAGA split? Whose side? I mean, I've been doing this on the show every morning. Who is on what side? Who is running in what lane? When I wake up in the morning, as you well know, I'm looking at, sad to say, in our world, who hates who now?
Yeah.
And who's attacking each other? And what's that going to do to the midterms? I mean, what is that going to do to the midterms? I'm not for sure, but from sea to shining sea, they are definitely there's a group that's definitely saying Trump is almost over. We're almost through. I don't want people upset with me because I support my president of the United States. And I said Friday on the show, I wanted to be clear that, you know, when I get up in the morning, thank God Joe Biden's not in there. Thank God Kamala Harris didn't participate in stealing. They didn't steal another election and Kamala's out there. So if you're a little, sideways with Donald J. Trump right now, and I don't know where you're at with the president, just start out with thank God that at least that's who's in the White House.
Well, I would agree with that. It is very clear, as you say, who is picking what lane. That is extremely clear. And for some of the, you know, MAGA people, for a lack of a better word, saying, well, I'm taking tweets and I'm going to see who did the right thing. I mean, I've stayed away from that. I will say this whole Israeli thing, you know, I'm a friend of Israel. I have friends there. I have some family there. And but this government, I will say, I'm not fond of for a variety of reasons. And I was against this American involvement. I said Israel can go do what they want, but I was against the American involvement because I don't want people dying, and I've seen that in the past. So that's where I'm coming to this. And there is a situation in the United States where people need to think clearly about what is happening, because this could spiral out of control very, very easily. And that's what I'm concerned about. I want what's best for the country.
Well, you know, let me say this, Todd. I said this on the show the other day. You know, Dr. Ron Paul said that this is his comment. Was it November 22nd, 1963? I'm just throwing that off the top of my head. I don't know what day Kennedy was assassinated. Okay. But Dr. Ron Paul said in 1963, that's when we lost the Republic. That's his comment. Okay. And I know you've heard that comment. Okay.
Sure.
All right. So what I told people on the show the other day, and you can guess my age. Okay. So 1963, Kennedy's assassinated. Dr. Rand Paul says that's when we lost the Republic. I am born soon after. We'll just leave it at that. Okay. So I've lived my whole entire life in what may be the post-Republic era of America.
Yes, but we didn't know it.
Right? And didn't know it. There, yeah. You hit it out of the park. I did not know that in the 70s when I was riding my Huffy bicycle. I didn't know. But according to that, so I said the other day, look, don't get mad at me, but I sit here in 2003 when Colin Powell said it's a fact. This is not guessed. He went to the United Nations and said it was a fact. I was sitting here saying, I was telling people it's a fact. Colin Powell said it's a fact. They got these weapons. When Benjamin Netanyahu stood at the United Nations and he showed all the CDs, he said, we broke in or something and we got all their, you know, all their stuff right here. We got the CD-ROMs. We got all the binders. And then he showed me the bomb. And I was there. I actually agreed with these people. And I was like, we got to do something about that. So I say this night, don't get mad at me if I'll use the nicest way. I'm a little skeptical.
Well, I decided a long time ago at CDM, and I think you're in the same vein. We just want to put the truth out, and the audience can decide what they, you know, so don't get mad at us for putting the truth out. And the truth is there's not a lot of credibility in that intel sector because of, you know, how many times you're going to cry wolf. So, I'm glad our pilots came home. I hope we don't escalate into something worse. That's what I'm praying for now. I don't want America in another major war. I think there are a lot of people that do, and that's what I'm going to come out against forcefully, because that's not good for our country or humanity in the long run. So that's kind of where I'm coming from this.
Well, let me ask you this, and I agree, because every morning on my show, I tell people this. When I come on at 8 a.m., I tell people right out of the box, I say, this is where we have the conversation. This is where my show is, where we have the conversation. And I put it this way. We have this crazy thing of freedom of speech. Our viewers, they're allowed to disagree with me. They're allowed to send me a message and tell me they see it this way. But we're not allowed to get angry at each other. We don't do that. We have the conversation. And I love that. And we do on our program. But you're 100% right. I mean, you know, what happened to Tulsi Gabbard? Why wasn't she in the Situation Room? You know, I got 2 weeks ago. I got 2 weeks ago. Bannon's telling me 2 weeks ago now. I don't come on the show and badmouth Bannon, but yeah. I live in the world of facts. 2 weeks ago, he's telling the world that, you know, Trump's a hostage of the deep state now. And then Thursday, he's there for lunch. So, yeah. I mean, just tell me what's going on. I can handle it. I can handle it.
Well, I agree with you. That's one story we're going to stay on. And I don't have enough time today, but people can find it on cdm.press or armedforces.press. My interview this morning with Brigadier General Cooper Wasser in Israel, former head of the IDF intelligence and research division. So we're going to continue reporting all sides of that story, and people can make up their mind. We've had people on who are anti-Israel, anti-war. We've had people very pro the other side. So we're going to continue to let people decide, but we're not going to hold the facts back, even if it's negative to something you may like. So that's where we are coming from on this show. BKP, I think we are about covered everything. Is there anything else you want to get out?
Well, I just want to say this. You know, I watch all the propaganda networks, and I watched them today, and I noticed since they started bombing, Israel started bombing Iran, the propaganda networks that carry their narrative, they would show and discuss the Iranian side of the devastation and how many bombs, but they weren't showing anything in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, they weren't showing. That's a good point. Let me interject there. There's massive damage in Tel Aviv. Massive.
Yes.
And there are these very wealthy neighborhoods are getting impacts by ballistic missiles, MIRV technology. They can't stop them. So this is a time race, as I think someone on Tucker said, Dan Caldwell. There's only so many interceptor missiles, and there's only so many ballistic missiles coming out of Iran, and there's only so many launchers. So that's the race we're in, and people need to realize that what we did not impact that at all. So that war is still going, and Israel is taking some big hits, and they've got economic troubles because, you know, Maersk just stopped all the ships coming in to Haifa to offload. Yeah. Because it's under attack by, you know, ballistic missiles. So this war is not over. It's still going to go on, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's going to come here, and that's why I did not want Americans involved. We could have continued to contain Iran, but we didn't do it. And that's
Todd, I have to say this. Now, I love my president. Mm-hmm. I do. But if there's one American death, Trump's got a problem.
I agree with you 100%. And I've been loudly screaming that for 2 months.
And I support my president. And anybody wants to come after me and come after me, they can check my Trump cred. I am on board with my president. Okay. But let me just say this, and I know we got to get out, but I can get so wound up. That's why I knew you kept track of that. And I'm like, hey, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, Tel Aviv is getting hit. And then this afternoon, you know, the Iranian parliament, for what it's worth, voted to close the Strait of Hormuz. Now, will they do it? I don't know. But just the fact that it's out there in the sphere of the spin rooms, that they're going to close it or they can booby trap it. I mean, I don't want to see gas pumps going into 4th of July at $4 a gallon. It could happen overnight. And yes, Trump will take a major hit on that. All right. I'd like to tell people where they can see my show, because I could get wound up right now.
Well, I know you could. And, you know, maybe we'll do this again later in the week or something, just on my show or something. But you got a lot of good insight. I know that's why I like having you on, because you always, I know you're up. You put in the work. That's what I'm saying. That's what I like. I don't like people that come in and just spout, but you put in the work. You know the details. And I really appreciate that and value it. So where do people find your show?
Well, every morning at 8 a.m., we come on voiceofruralamerica.com. You can find it there. We have a Roku app, Roku, Voice of Rural America. We're on X, Voice of Rural America. We were on YouTube last week, but I got another strike, so I'm off for 2 weeks. I've been given 2 weeks off of YouTube, so we were there. But anyhow, you can follow our Voice of Rural America Facebook page. From 8 to 10 every morning, Monday through Friday, we have a national conversation. It's basically politics. I keep track of the Mockingbird Deep State. I call it the CIA media. I keep track of it every morning at 4 a.m. And that's my main direction, is what is the other side, the narratives they're trying to sell people, because most people don't pay no more attention, sadly, than what's at the gas pump or at the grocery store and get their 30-second feed. So I work on that. And then from 10 to 11, we have a program called the Georgia Hour. We do an hour every day based on Georgia. We got a lot coming up in the next 3 weeks. Burt Jones will announce he's running for governor. We're going to see what Brad Raffensperger does. Will he run for Senate? There's going to be a lot of shockers, a lot of moving parts. It's going to happen in 3 weeks very rapidly, and we're staying on top of that.
BKP, thank you. This show is brought to you by the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. Please sign up for our NOAD subscriptions. It's really important. It gives us revenue that we can count on every month, and you get access to the whole CDM network, 13 sites, global. We if you get up early and come in, we're putting out a lot of really good content. We focus on that. We try to curate it and get the best stuff out. This show's on podcast. Put CDM.press in your daily scan, morning, noon, and night, to get the best news that you need to know. TV for smart people, we like to say. And please support our NOAD subscriptions. You get all that with no pop-ups on your phone, and people love it. So thank you very much. BKP, thank you for your time. We'll see you again soon. Take care, guys.
Always.